Hey, Jacksonville Podcast. So glad you're checking us out this week. This week, we're beginning a series called Ethnos, which is a walk through the book of Acts. Let's get started. Hey, Jacksonville Online. Thanks for checking us out this week. So glad that you are doing that. I want to start by asking you a question. What is your story? You see, everybody's life is telling a story. It's about how we live. It's what we invest in. It's about impacting in such a way that while we're here on earth, we do something that lives beyond us. So what's your story? And here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand about a good story. The secret to making your story a truly meaningful story is making your story part of a bigger story. We all need to be part of something bigger than ourselves, a narrative that transcends our short time that we are here on the earth. That's what makes me just so excited about the study we are going to begin. We're beginning a series called Ethnos, which is a walk through the book of Acts. And we're going to make a major investment this year as a church in studying and diving in and capturing the heart and the spirit of the book of Acts. Because here's what you need to understand. The book of Acts is our story. It's the narrative that we want to join to make our story really become a story that matters. And here's the thing you need to understand about the story of the book of Acts. First of all, it didn't end. That is to say, although there's 29 chapters in the book of Acts, the last chapter of the book is not the end of the story. It literally ends like in the middle of a sentence. It's as though the Holy Spirit was saying, okay, the book of Acts is the first chapter of the story of the church, and then it goes on from there all the way to you and me. And so we're not reading somebody else's story, we're reading our story. Now, the other things I want to say about the story that is the book of Acts is that it's the real story. It's the thing that matters. It's the thing that's significant. It's also the thing that's eternal. The story of the book of Acts is all about what lasts, what's really going to be celebrated and talked about forever and eternity. The other thing about the book of Acts is that it's a powerful story. If you want a life that has power, that has meaning, that has impact, well, it's about joining your story to the story of the book of Acts. And the last thing is that the book of Acts and this story is an incredibly inclusive story. We're going to talk more about that. That is to say, the heart of this book is including people in the message and the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and let's take a look. Let's begin by talking a little bit about this word, ethnos. So we've called this series ethnos, and the ethnos is a Greek word that literally means people group or tribe. Sometimes it's interpreted or it's translated as nation, but that has a lot of connotations that's not necessarily there. When we think about a nation, we think about, you know, like Bulgaria or the United States or something like that. Artificial lines on a map. This word is more robust than that, and it's more specific than that. An ethnos is anytime you have a group of people that are united, that they are sharing a story. They have a narrative, an identity. It might be a shared language or a shared culture or a shared affinity. But this word ethnos is a word that means people group. And so much of the heart of Jesus, the heart of the book of Acts, this word shows up a lot in Acts, goes back to what Jesus said in the Great Commission. He says, I want you to bring the gospel to every ethnos, to every people group. Bring the gospel, bring the message of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the relationship of Christ to every group of people, no matter where they are. And this radical message of inclusion, we're going to see in the book of Acts, blasts through barriers. It blasts through stereotypes, and it changes everything, and it's still changing everything today. Now, this week, I want to talk about a little different word. Let me just say this before I do. That the gospel is about people. So what Acts is all about is the gospel starting with the people in Jerusalem and going to one people group after another. And anytime the gospel becomes about anything else, it's not the gospel anymore. If it becomes about an institution or about some other temporary earthly movement, or if it becomes about, you know, some person's agenda or making some person great, it totally undermines the gospel. It warps the church because the gospel is always about people. Now this week, we're going to discover another incredible word that's at the heart of it, the word martos. Now martos is a word that literally means witness. We actually get the Greek word martyr from it, and we're going to see what it means to be a witness this week. And this is all about the commitment we have around here at Jacob's Well called share. And it's born from this deep conviction that we really believe we have a message that's worth sharing. We have a message that the world desperately needs to hear, that the world is looking for an answer, and we have the answer. And our job is to be a witness or a person who gives testimony or a person who shares what has happened to them so that other people can have that same experience of transformation. And so the word we're going to be looking at is witness. So this is what happens. The book of Acts begins in chapter 1, which you'd expect, right? Chapter 1, in verses 1 through 3, you have the author Luke saying he's writing to this guy named Theophilus. Now, whether or not Theophilus was a real guy, a patron who paid for the book, or whether Theophilus, which literally means lover of God, is just a general word for those people who love God, the point is that Luke wrote this book. He said, I wrote my first book, which was the Gospel of Luke, and I looked into it and I researched it. This second book, the first book was about the life of Jesus, the beginning of the gospel. This second book is about the life of the church, the gospel, if you will, of the church. What happened? Now, some of it Luke discovered while he was traveling with the Apostle Paul. He was one of the traveling companions of one of the heroes of the book of Acts, Paul, but also because Paul was a researcher. He was a medical doctor who looked into things, and so this is a historical account that he has researched. It begins shortly after the resurrection. Jesus has risen from the dead, as we read in the Gospel of Luke and all the Gospels, and now he's with his disciples, and so it's that in-between time between the resurrection and when Jesus rose from the dead. And this is what it says. And while Jesus was staying with them, he compelled them not to depart to Jerusalem. Now they're going to go to Jerusalem, and God's going to do work through them in Jerusalem. But before they did anything, they needed their source of power. He says this, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So the promise was what Jesus spoke about in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, that he was going to send a paraclete. He was going to send a comforter. He's going to have someone who will walk alongside him. Jesus said, before this Spirit that I'm going to spend, this Holy Spirit, he was with you, but at Pentecost, he's going to be in you. Now think about that, church. Before, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and would empower people to do things, and then the Holy Spirit would leave. But now, in Christ, the Holy Spirit has made you the new temple, the new place where he dwells, and we're going to see that in just a couple of weeks as we continue to study. But the Holy Spirit is the promise of God. You say, how do I know I can receive the Holy Spirit? Well, because God promised. Because he said, whoever would ask, the Spirit would come to them. And so the Spirit is going to come to them. He says, don't do anything until the Spirit comes. That's just an incredibly important word. I'll say more about that in just a minute. He said, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized, immersed, plunged in with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He says, now the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to start this love relationship, not just with the Son, not just with the Father, certainly them, but also with the Spirit. You're going to learn to learn from the Spirit. You're going to learn to hear from the Spirit. The Spirit's going to give you gifts. The Spirit's going to correct you when you're wrong. It's going to encourage you when you're right. It's going to prompt you. It's going to do incredible things through you. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. So when they had come together, they asked him. So they're waiting for the Spirit to come. Jesus is still with them. And they ask, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So this is their agenda. They at the beginning of this book are concerned about Israel. Just our people, our nation, right here. He says, when are you going to restore this? When are you going to put this back together? And they're looking down. Now, what Jesus is going to show them and what the book of Acts is all about is that Jesus is going to show them that I don't want you to look down and just protect what you have. I want you to look up because I'm going to go to the next ring of people, the next people group, the next ethnos. And then I'm going to go to the next one. And then I'm going to go to the next one. And I'm just going to keep going. Their vision is to look down and protect. Jesus' vision is to look up and expand. So look what he says, verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. He says, God's got more than you'd understand. If God were going to lay out the whole plan right now, it would blow your mind. You're not ready. Things have to happen to you and through you. You have no idea how far the Father wants to go. So it's not for you to worry about all those details. It's above your pay grade. And then in verse 8, he says just one of the most powerful passages of scripture. This is worth memorizing, church. But you will receive power. Do you see that? You will receive power. You know, one of the main reasons a lot of people don't share, they don't share their faith, is they say, my story is not very powerful. I'm not a very good communicator. I won't do it right. Listen, it's not about your ability to say the right thing in the right way and the turn of phrase. It is about the Spirit's power within you. And you will receive power. The Spirit will take your simple story. He will add it to the story of the church. And he will fill it with power. That is the promise of God. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my martos. You will be my witnesses. You will be the people who give testimony, who tell who Jesus is, what he's done for you, what he is in your life. You will be the persons who bear witness of me in not just what you say about your own story, not just the words you use, but how you live and how you treat each other and how you serve. You are meant to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So you start where they are. They're going to be in Jerusalem, start where you are. And then it's going to go to Judea. Okay, that's the next boundary. Okay, we'll let those other Jewish people in Judea, and then Samaria. Samaritans were like outsiders. They would consider them half-breeds. You're going to include them, and then to the ends of the earth. And if you understand this verse of scripture, what you really have here is an outline for the book. Because the book of Acts starts in Jerusalem, then it goes to Judea, then it goes to Samaria, and then it starts going to the ends of the earth. And that basically is a picture. And in that is the heart of God. The heart of God to go into places where this original group of followers would have never dreamed it was going to go. In fact, when they heard this, many of them might have thought, said, okay, I kind of understand what Jesus is doing. He's going to go gather up all the Jewish people like us in Jerusalem. And then he's going to go get the people like us in Judea. And there might even be a few of people like us in Samaria. And then he's going to spread us out throughout the end of the earth because Jewish people have been spread all over the world. And he's going to gather them up. So this is about gathering up the children of Israel to come back. And they just didn't understand that what Jesus is saying is that my message of the gospel is going to blow through all of the things that separate us, all of our isms and all of our loyalties, and it's going to call us to set aside our other stories to become part of the story of God. His vision is bigger than we could have ever imagined. He goes on in verse 9, and it said this, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up in a cloud and took him out of their sight. So the last thing Jesus said is he gave him this commission, and then he ascended into heaven. Now, something interesting happens here at the end. And it says, and while they were gazing into the heavens as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white clothes. So two angels, maybe the angels that declared his resurrection were there, because they're looking up. And church, if there's a weakness of the modern evangelical church, one of our weaknesses is we're spending a lot of time looking up. There are folks who are so focused on the details of how Jesus is going to come back and got charts and graphs and predictions and books and they've got newspapers in one hand and the book of Daniel in the other hand. They're trying to figure all that out. They're looking up. But look what happens. Look what the angels say. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He says, listen, he is going to come back, but he's going to come back in his time, in his way, by his plan. And what we need to do, what they need to do, is get to work with the power of the Spirit living today impacting today, loving today. Jesus said, listen, no man knows the hour. He just got done saying, listen, the Father's got plans and details. That's above your pay grade. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to pray, and that's what they go to do. They go to pray, and then you're supposed to wait, and then you're supposed to be filled with the Spirit in such a way that the Holy Spirit teaches you to be a witness. It teaches you to live out the commitment that is share. So we have these five commitments at Jacob's Well. One of the commitments is the commitment to share. And the commitment to share is an understanding. It's born from this deep conviction that we have a message that is worth sharing. We have a message that is real, that is eternal, that is powerful, that has been changing millions of lives for thousands of years. We have a message that the world desperately needs to hear. And it's a very simple message. The message is that Jesus Christ came to earth. He really lived. He lived a sinless life. And he took up a cross. He carried this cross. And he was nailed to the cross. And he died on that cross. When he died on that cross, our sins were put on him. And so anything that separated us from God, our sins that separated us from God, all those were paid for, were forgiven because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when we put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for us, we are forgiven of our sins. We are given a new identity as sons and daughters of God, as brothers and sisters to each other. And brothers, Jesus becomes our brother, our spiritual brother. And we are given, we are gifted the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us. We become the new temple. And when he becomes part of us, he gives us power. He gives us a new heart. He starts convicting us of things that aren't right and giving us power to live above that. He then gives us spiritual gifts, and he takes your spiritual gifts and my spiritual gifts, and he puts them all together in this thing called the church. And then as the church of Jesus Christ, we are called to live and expand and continue on the story of Acts in our time, in our day. That's what share is all about. It's about inviting people to become part of that story, to believe in Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus Christ. So what I want to start with this week as we dive into the book of Acts is I want to start by asking you to renew your commitment to share. Now, for some of you, you may have, you know what, Paul, I do the worship thing. I love the worship thing. And you know what? I love the grow thing. I love to get in the Word. I study. I like to challenge myself. I like my personal faith just to be really alive. I read books, all that kind of stuff. I'm totally into that. And on the belong thing, I like my group. I like my friends. I love my peeps. It's great. All that kind of stuff. And I even do the serve. I volunteer around here. Usher, I greet, whatever. But the share thing, that's just scary. That's just hard. I don't think I'm good enough to do it. And as we've said, you're not good enough to do it. You're not smart enough to do it. You can't be articulate enough or powerful enough, but what you can do is be available. And when you are available, God takes your simple efforts, he takes your simple story, and remember, he fills it with his power, and it changes everything. I remember as a young Christian, one of the first times I ever shared my faith. In fact, I think it was the first time I ever shared my faith. It was this with this young friend of mine. She was a friend, and I thought to myself, because I just learned how to share the gospel with people, how to share the message of Jesus with people. So I'm like 17, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I think if I do this and it freaks her out, she'll still be my friend, and she won't tell anybody. It'll be okay. And so we went to McDonald's. This McDonald's that I grew up with, close to my house, and we're sitting in this booth. I can still see the booth. I just see it like it was yesterday. And I just started talking to her, and she said, you know, a lot of changes happened to you. I said, yeah, I'm glad you, because I wanted to tell you about these changes. And I started telling her my story. I became a martos. I became a witness. And I said, you know, I've been going to this church, and they're talking to me about why Jesus came, and they actually showed me this little thing, and I drew out this little picture, which was a bridge that showed how Jesus connects us to the Father, and I laid it all out, and I remember that I was supposed to ask two questions at the end of doing that, and I remember asking her the question, has anything like this ever happened to you before? And listen, I did not do a good job with this. It was clumsy, it was awkward, but I remember asking, has anything like this ever happened to you before? And she said, no, nothing like that ever happened. And then the second question was to ask, well, would you like to pray to receive Jesus right now? And she said, yes, I would. And I remember saying, really? I mean, it was a terrible moment. It was just this time where I remember to this day just being shocked that God would use me in such way. And we did right there in the middle. I said, well, guys, we do this at McDonald's. And we prayed in this booth, and she accepted Christ. And to this day, she's my friend. She's a follower of Jesus. She's a leader in her church. And that was the first time I tasted the joy that comes when you partner with Jesus, who provided the sacrifice, and the Father, who longs to have his children come home, and with the Holy Spirit, when you partner with them, their joy is when one sinner returns to them. And when your joy is shared with their joy, it just becomes this incredible experience. And so share is something that you don't want to miss out on. Now, there are a lot of different ways that you can share. And so I got a bunch of next steps for you this week. And I'm not telling you to do all these next steps. I'm telling you to find one or two steps that you could take this week. Now, the first one is we're going to be doing 40 days of prayer. Now, next week, I'm really going to be talking about this. This is just, I want to introduce this, that the first thing the disciples did after Jesus went to heaven is they went to pray. They prayed for like 10 days. They preached for like 5 minutes. 3,000 people came to know Jesus. We tend to preach for 10 days, pray for 5 minutes, and we get our results. So church, we're going to do 40 days of prayer. We're going to be starting it here in about a week and a half, and I'm going to tell you more about that, but just be aware of that. Now, the second next step I want to let you know about is to pray for three. So what is pray for three? Pray for three is for you to say, Holy Spirit, I know you're not waiting for me to get to work. That is true, by the way. The Holy Spirit's already at work. Doesn't wait for you to get started. So Holy Spirit, I know you're already at work. Will you put on my mind, on my heart, really do this. You could have an experience with God unlike anything you've ever had. Will you put on my mind and my heart three people you want me to start praying for that they would find a relationship with your son, Jesus Christ? Three people. And maybe it's not going to be your three favorite people. Maybe it's going to be three family or whatever. But maybe it's just, Holy Spirit said this person, this person, this person. And as you begin to pray, don't be surprised if you start seeing God work in their life through good times, difficult times, and an opportunity comes. But start, just start. These three people are the people the Holy Spirit has told me to pray for. Now, the next thing I want you to do is I want you to get some training. If you go to Right Now Media and you go down to the tab that has the Jacob's Well tab there, you can look at the specific trainings that we have presented. There are all kinds of trainings you could go through to learn how to share your faith. So just taking some time to say, okay, this is what the simple gospel is. This is how you explain the simple gospel. This is how you help a person discover the simple gospel. Some of them will teach you how to tell your story. What is your story? You say, I don't know how I would tell that. Well, you've got a powerful story. You see, you don't understand. Mine's not like I was really, really bad, and then I had this incredible experience, came to Jesus. It's not exciting. Listen, most people's story are not exciting. What most people need is a good old-fashioned, simple, everyday story like yours that the Holy Spirit will fill with power. So go and get trained. If you don't know how to share your faith, man, you just need to learn. So go to Right Now Media. Now, the next thing I want to challenge you to is outreach cards. Now, this is something just very simple. So what you can do is you can take this card, and if you want some of these cards, you can go to jacobswellchurch.church. You can email us, and we will send you some of these cards. Now, on the back, you can just write a note. Just write a note to someone who hasn't been in church for a while. We have been overwhelmed with how many people have been coming back on weekends, but also how many people are connected online. But a lot of people are starting to drift. And it's hard for us to see that from where we're at, but you know some of them. So to just write them a note and invite them to come back to church, to join you watching online, just to connect with you, this could be a very powerful, powerful step. And if hundreds of us do this, we will do what Jesus taught us to do, to gather up lost sheep during times when they start to wander. And the next step you can take is you can serve the community. So our community, once again, has asked us to help. The health department needs some major help in moving a homeless center from Hobbs Arena to another location. And if you'd like to help be part of that, again, just go to jacobswellchurch.church, go to the I Want to Help tab, click on that, and fill out the information, and you say, how does that share? Well, many times when we can't give a verbal testimony, we can share through our example, through our acts of love, and maybe that's the way that God has really wired you to share your faith by serving, and so there's an opportunity for you to do that as well. Also, here's the other step that you can take, and this is a big step, is you can become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, this is kind of a blinding flash of the obvious, is that you can't be a witness unless you have something to witness. You can't give testimony unless you've experienced something to give a testimony about. And so what I want to just let you know is that you could have a relationship with Jesus Christ by becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. So maybe you're just watching this, and this entire time you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if this applies to me because I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. And this prayer is a prayer in which you'll acknowledge your sin, you'll ask Jesus to come into your life, you'll ask him to be the Lord of your life, and you'll declare that you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You will put your faith and trust. You will be taking your story and you'll be adding it to Jesus' story. You'll be taking your story and adding it to the bigger narrative of what it means to be a Christian. So if that's your step today, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've messed up my life and there's nothing I can do about it. But I believe that Jesus really came to earth. I believe he died for my sin. I just believe it. And I already feel the Holy Spirit working in my life. I ask you to come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I ask you to just change my life. I want to follow you. I want to be part of your story. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, what I want you to do is I want you to go to jacobswellchurch.church. I want you to go to the contacts. I want you to send us an email, and we want to send you this little book. It's a book that says, What on Earth Am I Here For? This is your next step. If you have just accepted Jesus Christ, this tells you where to get started. Now, there's one more step that you can take, and that's a simple step of baptism. So this summer, we weren't able to have as many baptisms because we didn't have Splash and we weren't meeting on campus. So this fall, we know there's a lot of people waiting to take this step of baptism. What baptism is you being a witness, of you being a person giving a testimony that who I used to be has died and has been buried with Christ, and a new person has risen to walk and live in a different way. That's what baptism is. It's giving testimony of what's happening to you. It's a testimony to the whole world that my life has been changed. And so if that's your next step, what you want to do is go to the website, go to the baptism page, click on the link. It will lead you to Right Now Media. Right Now Media, we've created a training there that you can go through, and it'll explain salvation to you. It'll help you tell your story, and it'll help you walk through understanding what baptism is. When you finish that, the information will be sent to us. We'll reach out to you, and we'll get a time set up for you to be baptized, whether that's during one of our weekend services or in one of the rivers or lakes or swimming pools around the area. This is a step that you can take to give testimony to the fact that you have become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, a few weeks ago, I had the incredible privilege of baptizing a wonderful young woman named Abby. And Abby wrote a testimony. She gave witness to her life being changed as part of this baptism. She starts by writing Galatians 2:20, which says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's Christ's story becoming her story. Then she writes in her own words, I knew at a young age that I wanted Jesus to be part of my life. I remember having conversations with my mom about having Jesus getting in my life and getting baptized someday. After losing my little cousin and my grandmother, I started having conversations about his plan and why things happen, which brought me closer to Christ. Soon after is when I asked Jesus into my heart. Today, I am excited to announce that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us not because of our righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, just help each one of us to identify a step we can take to share our faith. Help us, Father, to identify a way we can make our story part of your story and help other people discover you that they might know and become followers of Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.